This is the Peoria Reads Don't Shoot Roundtable on 89.9 WCBU. I'm Peoria Public Radio News Director Tanya Kuntz. This is the second in a four-part series. We're talking about David Kennedy's book, Don't Shoot, and the Peoria Initiative. For the next hour, Peoria Mayor Jim Artis, Peoria County State's Attorney Jerry Brady, U.S. Attorney Jim Lewis, Peoria County Sheriff Mike McCoy, and Peoria Police Chief Steve Settingsgarn are talking about David Kennedy's strategy to end gun violence and reviewing the second quarter of the book specifically as it relates to violent crime in Peoria. Later in the program, the panel is speaking with Carl Kennan, founder of Peoria's Elite Youth Program. But first, the panel is talking with those who are organizing the Peoria Reads Community Program, Peoria Mayor Jim Artis.
Thanks, Tanya, and we're very happy to be back for our second week to discuss the Peoria Reads Don't Shoot book. And we're going to start off the program this week talking with Stacy Peterson from the library and also Connie Voss, who have both helped us tremendously with the program this year. So maybe we'll just start off, and Stacy, it's nice to have you here. Thanks very much for coming in today. And can you just tell our audience a little bit about what Peoria Reads is?
I can. Thank you for having us. Peoria Reads was based on the One City, One Book project, in which a book is selected for the community to read, and this book can be either fiction or nonfiction. We've had classics in the past, and it's usually going to be something that has significance to the community. It's to encourage dialogue among all ages. In the past, we've used books like The Maltese Falcon, Fahrenheit 451, and also nonfiction books like The Other Wes Moore.
Okay, very good. Connie Voss from Commonplace. Connie, can you tell us a little bit about what Commonplace's role in Peoria Reads is?
Well, Commonplace's role, first of all, is as lead partner with Peoria Public Library in Peoria Reads. This is the 11th year for that partnership, and we've worked very closely together through the years. It's also important to Commonplace, where I'm the director, because Commonplace is a social service on the south side of Peoria. We're in neighborhoods that are directly affected and work with people every day who are directly affected by gun violence in Peoria. We see those effects, and we're concerned about them.
So you, every year that you've done this, you work together with the library to select a book that the community is going to engage in and hopefully read. And why did you pick the David Kennedy's book, Don't Shoot, this year?
Well, first of all, it kind of goes to our roots. We were started originally, as Stacy was saying, because there was thoughts about a One City, One Book project. And at that time, Officer Faulkner had just been killed. There was 9/11. There were concerns in the community. Part of Peoria Reads' purpose, along with encouraging people to read, is to bring the community together to discuss significant topics. So we choose books that have topics worth discussion in the community and that will bring people together for discussions. This is certainly one of those books. When Roberta and I first learned of the book, we were immediately interested. We had some knowledge of the drug market intervention, which has some similarities, so we had a little understanding of what the book was about from that. We took it to the committee, and they were immediately interested. They were interested because of concerns about gun violence in our community, but also because this is a book of a relevant topic to Peoria. Bringing people together to discuss a book is at our roots. That's part of what we do. It's also part of the concept in the book has to do with bringing the community together. So it seems like a perfect match to promote the community reading this book to understand better some things that are going to take place in our community over the next few months and beyond.
Well, Commonplace and the library have always been outstanding partners on this for our community. The community is fortunate, I think, that the stars lined up this year, that as at the same time you guys were looking for a topic, this program was being discussed between the Department of Justice and some of the local people. So it's really been a good fit for us to help us get this message out to the community in a strong way that's related to education, because people have to educate themselves on the concept that David Kennedy is talking about in this book. And it's kind of early to tell because the program is just starting, but I really hope that that Kennedy's book will go down as we look back when this is over as being one of the most successful efforts that Common Place and the library have had in terms of bringing the entire community together to understand the concept. And it'll be, I think, hopeful that going in the future that we'll be able to find another equally important topic for the community to engage in. But Stacy, maybe you could talk to us just a little bit about where any of our listeners can access the book if they'd like to do that.
Sure. We've been very lucky to have this partnership with all these agencies. Of course, you have copies available at the library for checkout, but because of these partnerships, we actually have free books available for people all over the community. If you're in Connie's neighborhood, you can pick up any of the three books at Common Place. So this includes the Don't Shoot book, but it also includes two of the companion books for younger readers. One is entitled Scorpions, and the other is If I Grow Up. Those same titles are available at the main library, and then we have Don't Shoot available at all library locations. It's really important that we have that book available to all segments of our community, and we're very, very proud to have that partnership so we can make those things available.
That's great. So people, there are limited numbers of books available that people can have if they want a book, and hopefully they can read it and share it with their peers, and if they have reading groups, hopefully encourage that whole group to read. Connie also has complimentary books at Common Place. Mm-hmm. We have a couple books left down at City Hall. We've had a pretty good run on those in the last couple weeks. So there are a lot of books available in the community. Of course, any of the listeners that want to go to wherever they might purchase books online, the book is readily available online as well, and we would encourage them to do that. You can usually get a book in a couple days that way. So that's outstanding. Connie, can we expect any other community events that are going to be tied to the Peoria Reads Don't Shoot?
Yes, we can. And if I may, I want to go back just for a second and mention one of the other reasons the committee was interested in this book is that it's not just about arresting the shooters. It brings a positive aspect to things, gives people a second chance, and that is what really grabbed the committee about this strategy. There are the continued radio shows all month, a great way for people to become familiar with the book. They'll go on the rest of the month on WCBU. You can get that schedule on the don'tshootpeoria.com website. The author, David Kennedy, will be here on August 29th at 7 p.m., and he'll be at the Riverside Community Church, so we're really excited that he's going to be able to come to town. I know the schools are doing some activities. There might also be churches or social services, neighborhood groups, others who are interested in doing things, and they can contact us for the books or go to the website, call us, and get involved.
You know, mentioning the website again, don'tshootpeoria.com, they're posting different locations for different events that are going to be happening in the community, so your different events will definitely be on there. We're getting a lot of interest from different groups in the community, a lot of faith-based groups, but other strong neighborhood organizations that want to do something to rally their groups. And certainly we encourage anybody that wants to come up with their own idea for encouraging their group of people to engage in this to do so, and we're going to get as much of that up on the web as we can. So, Stacy, in terms of the library, I mean, who do you guys focus and who do you guys anticipate being the main people who are going to read the book?
Well, as a community kind of based center for the entire community, we'd like to see everybody with a book in their hand. We serve all ages and all people. And one of the goals of Peoria Reads has always been to encourage discussion among communities and neighborhoods. So this tie-in is perfect as you speak of engaging neighborhood groups and associations. This book will actually show that the problem of gun violence is not isolated to one single area. We are interconnected. And we're really hoping that with the introduction of the companion books for younger readers, we can all see how that is involved, how everybody works together, and maybe encourage a discussion on how this impacts us and how we can make a change for the better.
That's awesome. As people are finding out, this isn't an initiative that we just thought about last week and said, let's give this a try. This has been months and months in the making, and both Common Place and the Peoria Public Library have been with the discussion since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And this an effort that's this big with that has this much potential impact on our community. It takes a lot of partners, and we appreciate the partnerships that Commonplace and the library have had for a lot of years, but especially so this year with this very important topic. So we'd like to thank you very much for both of your participations in a very important Peoria Reads this year.
Thank you. We're honored to be involved.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So we're going to transition into a discussion to continue where we left off last week in the actual book itself. And the first chapter that we're reading in week two is the chapter entitled Building Out One. And we have our state's attorney, Jerry Brady, with us again this week. And Jerry, could you just start off by giving us an overview of what happens in this next chapter?
Sure, Mayor. Thanks. Last week, as we know, we read about the Boston Miracle, where Kennedy and his team had implemented his focused deterrence strategy in Boston, and the gun violence plummeted. You know, it was successful in Boston, and the gun violence did go down, and that was the initial point. But Kennedy, he didn't like the term the Boston Miracle, as he writes in his book, because he didn't view it as a miracle. He thought that it was a combination of all the people coming together and hard, damned work. And when it became successful, as we know in Boston, and the gun crime went way down, people who had nothing to do with Kennedy's focused deterrence program rushed in to try to take credit for it. And some of those people Kennedy had never even heard of, nor had any knowledge of any involvement that they had. And the national media naturally also rushed in and started writing stories about the success and about what had happened. And for the most part, Kennedy believes they got it wrong. When the people started trying to claim credit for the reduction in gun crime, Kennedy's view was that it all started to turn into politics, and then it all started to fall apart.
Well, that's probably not anything that's unexpected in the real world that we live in. A lot of times when we experience a lot of different things. Sometimes when these programs start, we receive a lot of criticism from people saying, well, this is just like that program that they did a couple years ago, or that was just like this, and it's not going to work. And then when they start and they're successful, then it seems like we get a whole bunch of people saying, you know, that was my idea, or yeah, I thought of it.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that's probably very important to note right now before maybe we ask the sheriff a couple questions too is this effort has, to this point, come along very well because of the number of different players from the U.S. Attorney's Office to your office to the Sheriff's Department to the Police Department, community partners like Commonplace Library, and a lot of people in between. Nobody's standing up to take credit and saying, I thought of it, this is my idea. This has really been important because the community is embracing this, and I think the community really understands the significance of how important it is for us to come together to urge these people to put down their guns.
Absolutely, and I think that's also, you know, the example of we've learned with time how the program works and what's necessary to make it work, and that's one of the major ingredients, the community coming together. We all know, or we believe from experience, that in Chicago, you know, the community wasn't aware of it timely, and so it didn't come together, and so naturally in that circumstance, without all the ingredients coming together right, it wasn't successful. Here it appears that as we launch, everybody is on board. You know, everybody has come together on a regular basis, and we've been successful nobody is letting any egos get involved. And I suspect that with the community coming on board now that we're going to continue and it's going to be successful.
And with that being said, for anybody that's listening that maybe has not actually plugged themselves into this, we're just getting started. I mean, there's a lot of room for anybody and everybody that wants to get on board here to find a place where they fit into this and to, you know, to figure out the best way that they can contribute to the Don't Shoot initiative in Peoria. So anybody that thinks that they were left out, they're not. There's a lot of room left on the ship, and, you know, we want to get as many people on it as we can.
Yeah, and, you know, Mayor, just the other day, you know, people were asking about what they could do to get involved, and there are lots of ways. You know, if they have a suspicion, you know, this really isn't touching me. Well, if they have an interest and they want to get on board, you know, there are organizations that, for instance, I know we mentioned the Boys and Girls Club, but similar organizations that welcome volunteers that can help Commonplace, that can get people on board, that can help in reducing this gun violence.
So Sheriff McCoy, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about any lessons that we might be able to learn by what happened in Boston.
Thanks, Mary. You know, as you read through the book and you go through these chapters, it's hard to remember exactly everything that David Kennedy says and the suggestions he makes. But I think, especially in the instance of Boston, there are three things that came to mind for me. And you know, three things that we can avoid doing. You know, and one of them is, the number one thing is, you know, the Peoria Reads program and radio shows and other events, we got to do our best to educate the public on exactly what we're trying to do. And we got to teach them what focused deterrence is and how it works. You know, we've been doing that because we've been meeting for the last 7 months. And I think we've talked about this amongst ourselves, and now we're starting to get it out to the public. So we're getting everybody on board. Now, the second thing is, don't exclude the media in the early stages. Get them in on everything so they can understand it and report accurately. Let them know exactly what we're doing. You know, and I think that we've done that too. You know, we've had them aboard with our publicity campaigns. We had a meet and greet the other night where all the media was there, and I think that's important. And I think one of the most important things is that David Kennedy said that I really took away from this section of the book anyway is, do the good guys really get it? You know, do the good guys understand what we're doing? I think the bad guys understand, but are all the good guys on board? And so my number three in this little lesson would be, you know, let's all leave the egos at home. And I can tell you we've done that. You know, the program's headed by you, and everyone's working together under your direction. You know, you got myself, the sheriff, you got the chiefs, Chief Settings Guard, State's Attorney Jerry Brady, the UNES Attorney Jim Lewis, community leaders and Carl Cannon, the Elite Program, the faith-based leaders, the media leaders. Everyone's at the table trying to make it work, and no one's trying to take the credit. I think the credit here is going to go to the community in the end. The community is going to be able to stand up and say, this was a program that everybody put their heart and soul into, we put the time and effort into, and the credit in the end is going to go to the community. And that's something they did not do in Boston.
Thanks, Sheriff. And that kind of goes back to what the State's Attorney and I were just talking about is total community involvement. And we can't stress enough the importance of total community involvement and the need for people that might be listening for the first time today or may have caught the program last week and are just getting up to speed on this. But we want everybody to be involved, and we encourage everybody to get involved. Go to don'tshootpeoria.com. Check out how this goes. Get in touch with my office, the State's Attorney's office. We'll make sure they get plugged in. So, State Attorney Jerry Brady, what else does David Kennedy cover in this chapter of the book?
Well, in this chapter, he makes the point that one of the difficulties is that people say it may have worked in Boston. In other words, Boston was although David Kennedy doesn't like the term, you know, it was characterized as the Boston miracle because it was so successful. But many people, when they see the program, they think their city's different, that they have different gangs, that maybe they're not configured in the same way, that their community is different, and so, well, it's just not going to work. But with the pattern, the way it's set up, and I think it's important that we stress this, it is focused deterrence. That term needs to be recognized because, as it's explained, that's what a good part of this is all about. And it will work. It will work in Peoria, and it will work in other cities. In city after city, they found that if you follow the formula, the ingredients that David Kennedy has put together and that he has with those 25 years or more experience where he has visited city after city with his team, that it will work. The strategy, in Kennedy's words, is that it will travel, and it has traveled. You know, it's been successful in other cities. High Point, Philadelphia, you know, there are cities where it's been very effective and very successful. Kennedy also wants to make the point that one of the big problems with policing in America today is that we threaten consequences for violent behavior, but then we don't deliver. So the gang members or groups learn not to listen to us. And I think that's one of the messages. He made that very clear when I visited with him. If you're going to say you're going to do something, then do it. Make certain that the point that you stress is done. Because otherwise, they tend to laugh and they think, well, they're not really serious. I know in the book, in this chapter, there's one phrase where he quotes people saying they're told something and then they go, okay, well, we get another chance. Oh, okay, we'll get another chance. And so that message is diluted over time when the message is, okay, now we're really going to do this, and then it's not done. The individual, the offender, believes, well, they're not really serious, so I can keep going. And so that's his one message that I came away from New York with, and that is if you're going to say you're going to do something, make certain you do it. Whether it be we're going to present punishment because you did not accept the consequence, or whether it's make certain that we don't say, you know, we're going to guarantee you jobs. What we say we must be able to do, and we can't promise what we cannot do.
We're going to get into that a little bit later when we talk with Carl Cannon, just in terms of the need to have a place for these folks to go. But I think, you know, let's not lose what you just said. This isn't a promise for job program. This is a program where we're trying to, in a very focused way, tell these folks they got to put their guns down. And underline it. That's the focus deterrence. You got to quit, because if you don't, that's the unique part about this is we have the law enforcement side, the sheriff and the chief who are out there finding the bad guys, and then we got the prosecutors with you and the state's attorney's office and the U.S. attorney's office working together on this. And there's not going to be a chance for mercy on this. If they decide to not heed the message that we're sending, that you cannot use guns for crime in Peoria, then the penalties will be swift, and there's not going to be leniency on the part of you and the U.S. attorney. Is that right?
Oh, that's absolutely right. And I think they need to realize that this is not a short-term program, that we're simply doing this and then we're going to stop in 2 weeks or 30 days or 60 days. You know, these meetings are occurring on a regular basis. Weekly, the U.S. Attorney's Office and the State's Attorney's Office partner to discuss where we are, what's the progress we're making. So it's a long-term commitment, and everybody's on board.
And Jim Lewis, U.S. Attorney.
Yes, thanks very much. It's very important that this is a very important point, that you say what you mean, you say it clearly, you mean it clearly, and that you demonstrate that you mean what you say, and that there is serious consequence going one way, and for the people that aren't core to the problem, there are serious opportunities, genuinely. And if you say what you mean and you mean what you say, people will begin to learn that you're serious.
Chief Settingsguard, the chief of the Peoria Police Department, is with us. And Chief, you've been in Peoria for going on, I think we're going on 8 years now.
Yeah.
It seems like only yesterday. But you certainly don't have a reputation in the community for not fulfilling what you say you're going to do. But maybe you can expand just a little bit more on the take of, you know, so what's the solution for helping these people understand that we are not kidding, that we expect that they will put the guns down or there will be repercussions?
Well, we've mentioned a couple things here already. One is that we need total commitment. We talked about that issue from all the players, the good guys, as the sheriff said. We need consequences need to follow our words. And it's going to be incumbent upon all of these players to put their egos away, and we see that already between myself and the sheriff, the U.S. attorney, state's attorney, ATF, DEA, FBI. Everybody needs to be committed to this, and then we need to go out and make it happen. So from the local police standpoint, from the sheriff's office and the Peoria Police Department, it's putting boots on the ground and going out, and those folks that have decided, as we move through this process, those gang members, those criminals who decide that they're going to blow this off and they're going to opt to continue their gangster lifestyle and not put down their guns and not stop shooting, then they need to be heated up. And that's where we're going to come into play. That's the promise that and the commitment that the sheriff and I have to make is we are going to put the boots on the ground that are going to go out there. And if you as a gang member say, you know what, I've heard this all before. It's a lot of rhetoric. It's a lot of whatever. We're going to go about as life as usual. Well, life as usual has to get uncomfortable for those folks. And for the next group that follows and the next call in, they need to see the group that went before them, that those that turned up their nose, those that blew us off, there were real consequences. And it's not going to be a comfortable lifestyle for them.
I think I said it in the program last week, and I'll say it again this week because this comes both as the mayor of the city but also as a citizen in the city. One of the reassuring things for me in this program, in addition to the fact that you're working so closely with the sheriff's department, so we have the entire law enforcement community really focused on this, But the part of this program that is really, to me, hits home because it's where the rubber is going to meet the road is in the courtroom. And it gives me such a stronger level of confidence that when you guys bring good arrests, that the state's attorney and the U.S. attorneys are going to use that. And they're going to powder these folks. You can't be more blunt than that. You know, as a mayor and as a citizen, it's so distressing to see these people that continue to commit crimes in our city, continue to go to the courtroom and continue to get slaps on the wrists. And what the U.S. attorney and the state's attorney's office are telling us is, you know, those days are over. And I don't think it's going to take a real long time for the bad guys to figure out that things are different, and that whole model is going to change. So I think that's for the unbelievers or the disbelievers or whatever the correct word is out there, for the people who might question the effectiveness of this, I think the proof will be when we take good arrest to the courthouse what's going to happen. So the second chapter that we're reading in the book this week is about Baltimore. And again, we're very pleased to have our U.S. attorney, Jim Lewis, with us again this week. And Jim, could you just walk us a little bit through that chapter and what we find there?
Yes, I'm rereading the book, and I've been through some trainings on this. And I'll tell you, I get so much out of it. I'm going to talk about this chapter, but there is something in every chapter that you really want to stop and think about. The chapter on Baltimore is very interesting and teaches us some very important messages. The city of Baltimore was a mess. High drug use, heroin epidemic, open-air drug markets, high level of murder, high level of gun violence. So Kennedy believed that Baltimore would be a real good test of his strategy. His strategy was focused deterrence on the hardcore, and that it would work. If it worked in Baltimore, it would work anywhere. What he found was a city in terrible distress, not only from the gun and gang violence, but also from political divisions that he found there. He found a political nightmare. He wrote that, quote, "the gang rivalries were nothing compared to the political ones," unquote. What we've been talking about is we have to have a clear message actually carried out. And what happened in Baltimore was there were so many voices with so many different messages, there was no clear message. And it was not carried out. For instance, the United States Attorney's Office did not take the cases. The federal prosecutors from the top down were not convinced that this strategy would work. There were academics in Baltimore who said, well, we want social science involved. And Kennedy's response to that is, I'm sorry, we are in the middle of an urban drug war. You're just going to have to bring the social science along while we're in the middle of fighting the battles. And then you had the police who even denied that they had gangs. And this happens other places as well, where you get into a semantic discussion. Oh, the gangs were dismantled years ago. Now they only have street crews. Well, the street crews are doing what gangs did. So the terminology does not matter. Whatever you want to call it, they had organized criminal groups, criminal enterprises, committing the core of the gun violence, and they could prove that by doing an analysis of all the shooting statistics, whether it's homicides, whether it's gun injuries, whether it's shots fired, you could prove it. Then you get to the terrible law enforcement politics, and Kennedy writes that, quote, Baltimore had the worst law enforcement politics, unquote, that he had ever seen. Everyone was worried about credit, and everyone was worried about blame if it didn't work. And this is where you learn what's important. The strategy fell apart. This is a very dark part of the book. You've read about the initial success in Boston. You've read that it transferred to Minneapolis and to Stockton and a number of other places. But this week we learn about what happens when it doesn't work. Things go wrong. People don't work together. People are worried about credit. So as the sheriff said, community education, people understanding what's being done and why. People need to understand the strategy. The police understand it, the prosecutors understand it, the community leaders understand it, the schools are understanding it, the faith-based leaders are understanding it, the media is understanding it, the people in the neighborhoods are coming on board, the whole community. Everyone needs to be invested. If we succeed, as we should, the community as a whole will benefit. Everyone has an investment in this. And everyone needs to leave their egos at the door.
Thanks, Jim. And maybe just to wrap up this segment, Jim alluded in the very beginning about maybe some denial out there in different cities about, do we really have gangs? Are these really gangs? Maybe when you compare them to Chicago or L.A. or New York, is it really an organized gang? And we talked about street crews, or Jim talked about street crews, chief or sheriff or both. Maybe just talk just for a couple minutes here about how you would define the element that we have in Peoria, that whether you want to call it a hardcore gang or not. But talk just a little bit about the gang, the makeup of the gang, what they are, or how it relates to maybe if it's just a street crew.
Well, I think the street crew is a phrase now that's being applied to what we used to call gangs. And gangs in the old days were much more formally organized than they are today. So we look at a gang in 2012, and it doesn't look like the structured kind of gang that we saw in the 80s and 90s. But still, you can use the phrase gang to apply them. And street crews is just another word for it. It's kind of a more modern word for the way gangs work today. There are groups of individuals who run the street together, who are committing crimes together, who associate with one another. They recognize themselves as part of the same group, same crew, same gang. And they consider themselves gang members. They are gang members. They are organized gangs, just structured a little bit different. So whether we call them street crews or whether we call them gangs, we're playing with the same deck of cards.
And they do the same damage.
Absolutely.
And they're not just in the city of Peoria proper, right?
No, you're exactly right, Mayor. And I think the other thing that's important is, as the chief said, when you look at the different makeup of the gangs, we think of gangs as the older guys with tattoos and motorcycles. And right now we're finding in Peoria that the gang members are younger. They're 14 years old and they're part of the gangs, and they're brutal. They're more brutal and they're younger. And once again, to bring it back into David Kennedy's book, you know, part of the peer pressure to get these young kids to put their guns down is going to come from their family and their friends and their grandmas and their mothers, because they are younger than the old traditional gangs that we knew when we were growing up.
I'm really excited about this part of the show this week to have a good conversation with probably the person in Peoria least of all needs any type of introduction, and that's Carl Cannon, just because Carl's been such an influential leader in Peoria over the last number of years and who's really engaged with us on a number of different efforts And Carl, it's great to have you here. We appreciate you taking the time to come in. And maybe just for some of the listeners who have been living under a rock for the last 10 years, maybe you could just give them a little bit about your background, and then we'll break more into the conversation as it relates to Don't Shoot.
That's fair. Thank you, Mayor, and please know the honor is all mine. As you mentioned, Carl Cannon, I'm known in the community, at least amongst the kids, as CO. CO is short for correctional officer. I'm a cop with over 20 years in the business, the majority of that time working in America's prisons. I was born and raised right here in the city of Peoria, and I share that with most of my youthful audiences. I share that I lived in Taft Homes, Warner Homes, Harrison Homes, and I share it because I want them to understand I am an example, and somebody's got to stand up and do that. I'm an example of it's not where you come from that matters the most. It will be how you choose to live. There's a lot of people who are born with disadvantages, but they need to understand that the power of change is the power of the mind. And that might mean a simple philosophy of what a teacher shared with me and made me mad when I was young. She told me to sit there, shut up, and listen. I heard shut up like there were curse words, but the most powerful thing you can do is to use your ears. If you can listen, you can learn. If you can learn, you can obtain power. Knowledge is power. And with that, you can change what your setting in life might be.
Through the years, the one thing that I've noticed with you, Carl, and this is a huge compliment to you and your ability to communicate, not just with adults and people that have been in the correction system that you've been in, but the connection you make with our kids. And as we struggle through so many of these challenges, and there's so many social problems that these kids today are seeing with one and no parent families and with just, you know, the drug abuse problems and the gang problems and everything else, they don't have a lot of good role models. And your ability to go in and connect with our kids who are, I mean, they're going to be our leaders. These are the people that we need to look up to be the leaders in our communities in the years ahead. That ability that you have to talk to them and help them understand the issues has just been unbelievable. And I think, you know, one of the key parts to that success has been your Elite program that you brought to Peoria. Maybe you could talk a little bit about Elite, how it was formed, what it's doing, and then I'd kind of like to talk to the chief and the state's attorney about the interaction that they've seen that have been positive results of what Elite's doing in our community.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Mayor. Elite, it's a result of you. It was a winter day. I got a phone call from you, and there was a crime surge within our city. And you knew that I had been working with youth, so I had a voice, at least, with them. And you invited me to participate in a community discussion. It was at WTVP studio about 6-7 years ago. We sat with a panel of experts, live audience. I remember prior to that discussion, the director came in and he pointed to a box on the wall and he said, when that box goes green, and he's talking to the panel, you're going to be live on the air, solve the community's issues. Well, the box went green, the questions came, and as a community, we were still kind of stumped. And I went on a guilt trip. Here it is, Carl Cannon, known to talk to youth, been doing that at that time for about a decade, and yet we were in the midst of a crime surge. So my guilt was, whatever I said, it wasn't enough. And what else could we do to stop the madness? And it just came down to something we started the discussion with earlier. My ability to shut up and listen. And when I sat in my car outside of that studio, it dawned on me that our kids lack a healthy occupation of time. And to me, when you're talking about high school age youth, that means a part-time job. If you can get out of school, do your homework, and then go to a part-time job, work enough hours, you're going to be too tired to hang in the streets and in the alley. If you can get them 8 hours on the weekend, on a Saturday and a Sunday, they become almost adults. And that's when they find that being grown's overrated, slow it down. In the summer, give them 40 hours. They're too tired to be in the streets and the alley. And that's how Elite was born. And today Elite is really flourishing throughout our community.
So, Carl, I mean, Elite is not a word that anybody takes lightly. If you're considered an elite member of whatever the organization is, that's not something that everybody stands in line and gets to put the title of elite next to them, right? So, I mean, I know that there's probably a lot of kids in the community that might want to participate in this program, but if they don't participate to the caliber that you expect them to participate and to reach the degree of excellence that you require from your kids, they don't stay in it. I mean, make sure people understand that this isn't just a kind of a feel-good anybody that wants to be in Carl Cannon's elite group can get in. It's not an easy order.
And you're right, Mr. Mayor, and I heard the chief and the sheriff speak to it earlier. It's not a free pass. It's a mental mindset. But here's the difference. It doesn't require you to obtain a 4.0 effort. You can have a 1.0 and get an elite if your effort is a 4.0. If you bring the effort, then we'll bring American heroes, and they're called volunteers. It's called people in our listening audience. We can help make a D, a C, a C, a B, a B and A, but we can't help you until you want to help yourself. So I will terminate a student who is talking the talk and not walking it, because on their right and their left is somebody who has figured it out and is going to try, and we cannot water down what their efforts are. So we might have to make the hard choice or the hard decision and impose a consequence.
And there is, for the listening audience again, there is a connection between Carl Cannon and what he's doing with Elite and what David Kennedy talks about in his book. And in a big part of Kennedy's book talks about, you know, the moral voice in the community, you know, the moral conscience of the community and what they know that they need to do to change behaviors in their cities and for everyone to take an active part in this. And in both, you know, Chief Settingsgard and State Attorney Jared Brady, I know you guys can both probably anecdotally give some feedback to the impact that Carl's association with Elite and some of the other programs he's doing, the positive impact they're having on the overall city. Chief, I know that we were having a whole lot of problems with some of our citywide events before Carl got engaged, but there's a lot of examples we can probably use. What's your experience with Elite in Peoria?
Well, I don't think I overstate the case when I say, and I've said this many times, that Elite and Carl's program helped save the city's festivals and our summer events. We were, you know, four summers ago, we were going from one event to the other with these ugly mob violence incidents, and they were getting lots of play in the media. You could see there was a building fear of attending, whether it was March Madness or it was Steamboat Days or it was Heart of Illinois Fair, you name it. We'd have these ugly mob violence incidents. And you could see from blog comments and discussion around the water coolers that the regular people in Peoria were starting to come to the opinion that these events were not safe places to be, and they weren't going to take their families. And I was really fearful that some of these events would die as a result. And we approached Carl and Elite and said, "Can you help us with this?" And Carl brought his folks in and joined us at our festivals. They patrol the festivals, they meet with kids, they've established behavior rules, attire rules, etc. They have a relationship, they know most of the young people at our festivals. The following summer, the first summer that Elite came in, we went from the summer before of almost no festival without mob violence to no festival with mob violence. And our festivals have been squeaky clean ever since. It was a dramatic turnaround. I know David Kennedy didn't like the word miracle. It was a miracle for us. I knew he'd help. I just didn't think it could happen that fast. And we're seeing similar things with Treewin. Treewin went from a chaotic environment where I don't know how anyone learned in that school, and, you know, chaotic neighborhood around the school. 2 weeks after Carl and Elite went into the school, I toured the school, and it looked like an expensive prep school. You could hear a pin drop in the hallways. The crime has dropped in the neighborhood around the school. It's impacted everybody that lives in the Treewin area. I just can't say enough about the accomplishments of Elite.
Carl, listening to this, it really probably continues to reinforce to me how special you are to our community. But it also, I think it really puts a magnifying glass on the unique perspective that you have to give to all of us. I mean, you grew up, as you said, in the Taft and the Harrison and the Warner, but you went on, you listened to the folks that said listen more, talk less, and you're a veteran, you've served in corrections for a long time, you're a community leader. But can you talk to us just a little bit about, for the non-believers out there that are saying these kids are hopeless cases, they don't care, they don't value life, that's all they know, they'll never be able to get any better. Talk to us just a little bit about from real life experience, both from living it growing up to still dealing with a lot of it on literally a daily basis, but also seeing, some of these kids where they've come through, and with just a little bit of encouragement from people that love them. I mean, let's just put it out on the table. I mean, you love those kids, we love those kids, but getting that message and what their potential is. Talk to us for just a couple minutes about that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You mentioned the word love. That's what drives the train. But love isn't, and this is the Elite approach to it, is not telling them what they want to hear. It's telling them what they need to hear. Now, that means the person sharing that love might be unpopular. Well, that's what a parent should sound like. I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to be your parent because I love you. I'm trying to correct you. A consequence early is better than a consequence late. When we push that stuff forward, we push our kids into a culture where they get to know someone like me. And again, my title amongst the kids is CO, correction officer. I'm overrated, but very available. And to share that with them from a perspective, age base, that they can understand, it gives them that opportunity to listen. And then when they do listen, for me, it's redefining success. Too often, it's on the gauge of 1.0 to 4.0. But if you say to a student, let's say to an eighth grader who's at a third grade reading level, you're way behind. You can't get to high school. But if you say to that eighth grader, you have to be at a ninth grade reading level or an eighth grade reading level prior to the end of the year, they're going to quit. They're going to go gain attention in the wrong way. But if you say to that young person, how about we get you from grade 3 to grade 4? Can you do it? There's an acknowledgement. Yeah, I think I can do that. If you can get them to 4, that's success. That means you can get them to 5, 6, 7, and 8. Just simplifying what success looks like. And doing it in a manner that, again, sometimes we might be unpopular, but that's love.
Jim, U.S. Attorney Jim Lewis, did you want to?
I got a comment and I got a question for you. My comment is it's easy to see that the results are coming, and therefore it's easy to say, well, this must be easy. This is actually hard. It's hard for the kids, the young kids that you work with, because they've got to change. I know you work with the high school students.
Yes, sir.
They've got to change. That's hard. And I know you also work with people who've been through the criminal justice system. One of the things that's going to happen in Peoria, there's going to be strong law enforcement aimed at the core of the violence. But then there's a lot of people around the fringes of the violence that we're going to try to get in. And if you read the book, you see a number of examples where those people do come in.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about what that conversation is like. You have that conversation with people who have been through the system. How does that conversation work?
Mr. U.S. Attorney, for me, it's my background. Correctional officer canon. Now, it was also that background where that teacher said, shut up and listen. And it was during that career, working with men who had been there, done that, that I did listen. And contrary to popular belief, most people feel like people behind fences and walls in prisons, They are terrible, terrible people. We have some terrible people, and I'm not a bleeding heart. But most people behind fences and walls are just like our audience, good people. Maybe the difference could have been who was on their right, who was on their left, who they call friend, who could influence them to do what they knew they shouldn't be doing, and was that a snowball that just built, gained momentum to where they wound up behind the fences and walls? While I was working within those institutions, I started listening to those men and women who regretted decisions they had made early, and I started sharing those decisions and testimonials with young people. Within that audience of young people is somebody that is living a life that somebody lived before them, and that's woe is me. So we erase that pity by sharing a story of someone who has regrets. And I guess that's where that question gets answered for me, understanding that most people, if they could go back in time, make different decisions based on what they know today, they wouldn't make that initial decision that got them locked up. So I understand that, and I understand that you guys, we give them a release date. And if we're going to let them out, we better find a way to make them productive members of our society. Failure to do that, the crime that takes them back, is a multiplication factor on that. They do something even dumber. So, I mean, it's out of survival that we better figure out a way to help them bridge away from a past and into a future. And that's something I have a passion for.
To tie it back into the book, Chief or State Attorney Brady, how does the respect that's being taught in the elite program tie back in to the need for these folks to lay down their guns? Because Kennedy specifically addresses the gun issue with respect. Tie it back in for our listeners as we draw to a close on this week's program.
Well, if I could, Mayor, I've commented on this before. A lot of our shootings, they're not typical drug turf gang wars. They may be gang members involved. They may be drug dealers involved. But they're about tiffs between guys and gals, fights on Facebook that start on Facebook. It comes from anywhere, and it's a lack of respect. And, you know, as we sit here and talk, I'm actually struck for the first time at how closely aligned what Elite does and what the Don't Shoot program is trying to do. You know, Carl and his Elite program in middle schools and high schools, he seeks out at-risk youth and shows them another way to be productive, another way to live their life. And same naysayers, I think, that will look at Carl's kids and say, you can't teach this generation anything. They don't listen. They don't care. And he's proven over and over again they're very teachable. They're very willing. They need some structure, some discipline, some love. And I think we're trying to do that same thing with the next group, which is, you know, the kids who have fallen out of high school. They're past high school. They've gone further down this road of bad behavior to the point of being criminal. And I think we're going to go in with that same message. We do care about your life. There's another way. And we're going in saying we believe that deep down inside, these tough, street-hardened gang members don't want to be gang members. They don't want to pull the trigger. They just don't know how to live another way. And that all reminds me of what Carl does in Elite with his kids.
Yeah, and I think the parallel, too, is consequence. In other words, focused deterrence strives to present consequence, the message of consequence to the offender. And that's absolutely no different than what Carl does. And I'm reminded I was down one day, and he's got all these youngsters lined up for the field trip, which is the highlight when I was a youngster, the highlight of my day in school or my week or my month in school. One of the youngsters acts out, and immediately Carl pulls the young man out, and I'm thinking, oh, this poor little guy is going nowhere. And absolutely right. That youngster learned consequence. His behavior caused him consequence of losing the field trip. And that's the same message David is talking about in terms of consequence. So it is. There's parallel completely between the Elite and the Don't Shoot program.
In the Don't Shoot, I also expect that law enforcement is going to take out the core people and that they're going to end up in the criminal justice system. But then there are the people around the edges, the people that can go either way. And the book talks repeatedly about talking to them with clarity and respect. And I expect to have a conversation where we lay out the penalties. And we will respect their choice. If they choose to continue in that way, there will be clear, real penalties. But if they choose to go the other way, we will respect that choice as well, and we will work with them, and we will help them. So Kennedy talks repeatedly that it begins, you're going to have to respect the people who are there and hold them accountable. If they choose to go the right way, help them. If they choose to go the wrong way, hold them accountable.
Well, it's been a very interesting discussion, and Carl, thanks for being here with us today and for everything that you're doing in our community. I mean, this is just another branch on the tree of life and the things that you're doing in Peoria. We thank you for that, and we also like to thank our other guests this week. We had Stacy Peterson, who is here representing the Peoria Public Library, and also Connie Voss from Commonplace. And our panel again is very engaged in this. We hope that the community remains engaged. For the people that are listening, please encourage your friends and your coworkers, people at church, and any of your activities in the community to engage in this community-wide effort. I encourage everybody to read the book. This program is obviously focused on discussing the chapters of David Kennedy's book. Mr. Kennedy's going to be here in Peoria on the 29th down at Riverside Church. I think that's going to end this week's portion of the discussion, and we hope everybody will continue to read the book and be with us next week when we discuss the additional chapters. So U.S. Attorney Jim Lewis and our state's attorney Jerry Brady and our sheriff Mike McCoy and our police chief Steve Settingsgaard, on behalf of all of us, we look forward to continuing the discussion next week. And to WCBU, we can't thank you enough for allowing us the time to present this information to our community.
You've been listening to the second Peoria Reads Don't Shoot Roundtable series on WCBU. I'm Tanya Kuntz. Peoria Mayor Jim Artis, Peoria County State's Attorney Jerry Brady, U.S. Attorney Jim Lewis, Peoria County Sheriff Mike McCoy, and Peoria Police Chief Steve Settingsgaard are our panelists for this show. They spoke with organizers of the Peoria Reads program and the founder of Peoria's Elite Youth Program as they relate to the Don't Shoot Peoria initiative. Please join us next week for our review and discussion of pages 124 to 206 of David Kennedy's book, Don't Shoot. This Don't Shoot Peoria Reads Roundtable show can also be found on our website, wcbufm.org.